Blog Talk Radio.
Kind of woman you have to be to rise in an all-male run, all-male controlled, all-male executed, all-male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect? Their utmost regard, and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you. Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You gotta be powerful, 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 powerful.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio, and this is Books to Read on a Tuesday night in the middle of May. 646-652-4479 is the number. Appreciate all who are listening in from all over the United States and some countries in the world. I want to thank you all who are listening on Blog Talk Radio. If you're currently listening, the chat room is open. blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide. Also, thanks to those who are listening in because they saw the promos on Instagram. The Instagram page is IMTM Worldwide Radio. Save it. Follow it. Also on Facebook, IMTM Worldwide Radio. And, of course, download the Spreaker.com app to your smartphone. Do something smart with that phone. Download the Spreaker.com app. Follow the IMTM Worldwide Radio page. Make sure you become a follower. Click on shows and you will see books to read. And, of course, since I do have a great woman on the show tonight, I always like to use the Oprah intro for that. Particular usage, it gets me hype. 646-652-4479. So what are we doing tonight? So we haven't had a Books to Read show in a while, so I'm really excited about tonight's show in particular. Tonight we're going to be featuring author Lorraine Cuff. Her book, Defining Your Greatness, is going to be able to give those who read this book a guideline on what happiness and success really means. And her perspective comes from years of experience, which we're going to learn about during the interview, so I don't want to give everything away right now. But do you need inspiration? Do you need some motivation? This is a show you should not miss. So tune in, listen in, call in. Of course, dial 646-652-4479 if you'd like to join the show. Maybe you have a question, comment in regards to our guest tonight. And that being said, let me do a little bit of something different that I usually don't do for guests. She is a certified Book Yourself Solid Coach. She has served as president of the McGuire Achievers Toastmaster Club at Joint Base McGuire Dix Lakehurst for three consecutive years. She's done that. And as a senior non-commissioned officer of the United States Air Force Reserve, you know she is constantly busy helping those get better at their skill set. She's also a career Air Reservist with over 24 years of military service cumulatively. She's also a veteran, served in Operations Iraqi and Enduring Freedom. She's a Master Sergeant. There's so much I can speak on with Lorraine Cuff, but she'll probably be able to tell you a little bit more than I can. Let me go ahead and bring her in. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be online
very
with you.
Well. Very, very welcome. I'm excited about tonight. So that being said, we're not going to wait. We're going to go ahead and get started. So first and foremost, my first question, where are you originally from?
All right, that's a tall question. So my parents, who are of Jamaican, born in Jamaica, they met and got married in England, Birmingham, England, and that's where they started their family. So I'm the last of three children born in England. And after a number of years, my parents got homesick and decided to return to Jamaica. And I spent my high school years in Jamaica and just enjoying the culture and learning the full experience of being in Jamaica, going to high school and learning the foods, the flavors, and everything about the island. And when I completed high school, I worked in Jamaica for about a year and then traveled to New York. And I've been in the States ever since.
Wow! So that's you're all over the place right off the bat, huh? And I actually know some people in England, so that's pretty cool too. So let me ask you: so what was it like for you growing up? Now you have two dual experiences there, and you went to high school there in Jamaica. But what was it like for you growing up? And do you feel that as you were growing up, did you have any experiences that right off the bat kind of pushed you to where you are now?
That, you know, there were several circumstances that kind of helped made me the person that I am today. And I think of, especially being in England, I had the experience, which is something that we experience in the U.S. all the time, being in a country that you're not necessarily welcomed because of the color of your skin. And just little experiences. You learn to kind of take a step back and observe what's going on and not necessarily put yourself out there right off the bat, which it can be a plus or a minus. But you kind of learn to be the observer and to learn from things that go on around you and not really put yourself in a position that people may want to take advantage of you or abuse you or you know, put you down in some way for one reason or the other. That was one of my – it's something that's always stays in the back of my mind. I think even coming to the United States, I remember my first – one of the first job appointments, job interviews that I went to, traveling to Manhattan. I was all excited, dressed up in my – trench coat. It was in the fall, and I remember making a phone. I was a minute or two. I was a bit lost, not you know, going to the city for the first time. And then when I got to the, so I called just to make sure that I'd get there in time and had the directions clearly. And when I got to the place of employment, I walked in the door, and as I walked in, the receptionist looked at me, and without a second breath, oh, the job's already taken. So I looked at her like, I just called you, and she said, yeah, but the job's already taken. I'm like, well, at that point, there's nothing for you to say, but you kind of recognize the circumstances, and I just kind of had to, you know, learn how to come back, to kind of shake that feeling off and say, you know what, that's not going to stop me from getting what I want. And, you know, those are circumstances that help form me to always press forward, lean in. You know, don't let disappointments kind of get the best of you.
Exactly. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially in the moment, because a lot of people didn't have the wherewithal to kind of, you know, have to pull back to an extent, because that is just one opportunity. There's always others. But at that moment in time, you have that feeling inside, you're burning up. But that's a great point there. Let me ask you this. With you being able to grow up in Jamaica for a period of time in the culture and, of course, the food, things of that nature. But was there anything in regards to with the Jamaican heritage side of things that you felt was maybe a high attribute that you gained because of living there?
Well, Jamaicans are very loving people in general, and in Jamaica, there are the culture is very diverse. One thing that was strange in the beginning, and it's not strange now, the motto of Jamaica is out of many one people. Because in Jamaica, you not only have people of African descent, you have people from Syria, from China, from Germany, and they have their own little communities. And it's one of the strangest things to see a person who's white or Caucasian walking down the street, and when they open their mouth, they speak the deepest patois ever. You like you kind of take a second look. I'm like, oh, okay. And then you realize that you can't you can't judge people by the cover. You never know how people are going to come across to you. So that Jamaican experience, it makes you recognize that, yes, don't judge people. Get to know them first, and then you can form your opinion. But don't, you know, just look at someone and think that they're one thing or the other. And
wow,
that's something that's you experience all over the island.
That's an outstanding point. That right there makes me want to go to Jamaica for sure and just live there forever, right? 646-652-4479. Lorraine, how did you end up in the military?
In the military, it's something that I wanted to do. My brother was the first person in my family that had the interest of joining the military. And I think at the last minute, for one reason or the other, he changed his mind. And I guess for one thing, always being a little sister, you'll want to follow your older siblings. But the idea of being in an environment that's disciplined and structured is one of the things that inspired me. I think one of my first interests was to join the Army. And I had a friend who said to me, the Air Force, they treat women better. I'm like, okay. So I decided to go that route. And I have no regrets. I had the opportunity to travel for several different countries, meet a lot of different people, and to develop my leadership skills. It's been quite an experience.
In the intro, I mentioned the two operations that you served in, and we all, well, most of us will remember the times in the past as far as this United States of America at that time. What was it like serving during that time while you're at, and while you're serving, it's a secondary question, what is the pressure like in being active? We all heard the term active duty, but for some that means something different than others, of course. You are actually in these operations. How did that affect you? What kind of pressure was it? Just give us a little bit of a taste of that.
Well, as you mentioned before, I've been in the reserves for 24 years total. So I was I enlisted as a reservist, and when the war kicked off, was activated to call to active duty. And at that time, I had two children. My marriage was not at its best at the time either, and it was kind of knowing, on a day-to-day basis, I was able to see my children every single day, and you kind of end up having the full experience of what it is to be active duty, because you end up being separated from your family and had to find a way to communicate. And, thankfully for technology with Skype and everything else, I was able to maintain communication with my children. My youngest, my daughter, she was 18 months at the time. And my son was about 6 years old. So it's one of those things you kind of have to, regardless of how you're feeling, you put on your best. So you don't want your family to feel as if things are negative or worse or depressing in any sense of the word. So you always have to continually wear your best, be your best self on the outside, no matter what. Because I just felt, I would feel very torn in thinking that the way that I feel would impact them in a negative way. It just wouldn't be a good feeling. And with that, it would affect how I serve, because I would need to be able to focus on my job. I was an NCO during the time as a leader, and being in a position of leadership, you need to have a clear mind, because at any time you need to make that split-second decision for something to happen, and it can affect the lives of the people around you. So, yes, it's one of those things, you have to maintain control as best you can. And, yes, you may have those moments where you have to kind of take yourself to the side, out of the limelight, and you may get to the point where you have a couple tears, or you kind of have to let it out. Don't necessarily bottle it up, or if there's someone you can reach out to and kind of can help console you. But you kind of time it right when it's not going to impact the people around you. Get that feeling out and then get right back to work. Just shake it off and get right back to it. But fortunately enough for the job that I did, I was not in the line of fire, but my responsibilities had to deal with getting equipment and people to the fight. So it was very important regardless, because if my people and myself, we didn't do our job, for those folks that are on the front line, they wouldn't have the resource and the tools to do their job. So when you recognize the importance, you're that magic link, you just have to kind of, like I said, lean in and press forward.
Well, that's definitely what I'm looking for here. Actually, this is the warm-up, y'all, because now we get to this is that preview part where we're going to find out in regards to the book, Defining Your Greatness, where some of that's coming from. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a light taste of where Lorraine's coming from in regards to her perspective, as I mentioned in the intro. So that being said, tell us a little bit about the book, Defining Your Greatness, Lorraine.
So the book, Defining Your Greatness, during my Toastmaster years, most of the speeches that I wrote had to do with being your best self, making yourself, no matter what you are today, there can always be a better you tomorrow. So it was about being able to develop and find something within yourself to always become greater, to become greater. And I realized that all my speeches had a common theme to them that I could tie together. So I discussed this with a friend of mine who is basically does literature as her major in college, and they helped me put the book together using the speeches, and you know, I have to use examples from my life, my own story, how I kind of survived different circumstances, in different challenges I had throughout the years. Opportunity that presented itself and I made the best of, and I keep striving every single day to be better no matter what. And that's evident in the book.
So to that point, it is not easy. Now, this is the real world that we're living in, of course. It is not actually easy to motivate and encourage others. So why did you feel that this would be something that you could do?
You know, I guess when I spent time listening to other motivational speakers, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey for that matter, and not that they're not special, because we're all special in our own way, but their lives, they have used their lives to help transform and impact people within their circle, people that they have reached out to or have reached out to them. And I think each of us, we all live we have our own circles. And there are people who look up to you or who admire you or see you as being something significant over the years. And I think it would be an injustice that if you live your life for a number of years and you end up going to the graveyard and not try to impact someone in a positive way. And the book is one of those opportunities for me to kind of lay out a blueprint, some kind of detail of how an individual, how some people can better their lives. Because if you know, it's just like having our children. If you can't give your kids a better life than you've had, then maybe you've fallen short somewhere. So I want to think that when I do leave this earth, that in some small way, that there are, could be one individual, but there are some individuals out there that have benefited from the lessons that I've learned in life. And they may or may not learn from the mistakes, but at least they'll be able to transfer that story to maybe some other folks, you know, as they go along in their life.
And you kind of provided the segue, because my next question was actually, why do you feel a book like this is needed today? And you kind of gave that answer in a very eloquent way. I appreciate that. But here's another question for you. There's a point that I read in regards to the phrase life improvement. Could you describe what life improvement means to you?
Life improvement. So, I mean, every day that you wake up, I mean, some people, they have a set schedule. They wake up in the morning and have breakfast, get dressed and go to work, come home, and it's the same drumbeat day to day. But things are going on around you that circumstance that you might be living is not going to remain the same. So you have to look for it. It is in your best interest to look for ways to improve your circumstances. And one of the things, like I said, the book provides tools to help you do that. And you can't do that in a void. That doesn't help because, like I said, life is going on around you. So it's always best to find ways to tune into life, to tune into the circumstances around you to help improve your life.
Wow. All right, so that was life improvement. So when it comes to people having assumptions, because they'll read some of your background and they'll see Toastmasters experience, they see the military experience and the other things that you've done that you're certified in, things of that nature, they'll assume that the bulk of the book would be about that. But you also include some common sense advice as well. Could you give us just like one example of something common sense wise within the book that people will just kind of gravitate to when they see it or like snap?
So one other thing is like even common sense in terms of public speaking. We don't think of public speaking when people think of the term public speaking, we might think of going on a stage and speaking to a big audience, where public speaking can be just attending the wedding and doing the speech, the toast for your relative. So there are opportunities where we have to kind of prepare ourselves in the best way so that when we do need to speak, and if it's even meaning speaking in defense of your own, of something that you need in the work environment, the book kind of gives you a hints on how you can prepare yourself to speak your mind or to put your best self forward. Mm-hmm. Public speaking, whether through Toastmasters or Rotary Club or anything of that kind, it's a tool set that I think the majority of us don't even think about. We may think that we can talk publicly because we'll sit and talk to a friend for hours and forever, but when we're put on the spot to deliver a sensible angle or a sensible conversation, most people get choked up. And that's because we don't put ourselves in a position to converse fluently as often as we should. I always say to my son is a avid basketball player, and you can't do anything without practice, 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 which is a term we always watch. My son used to watch Sesame Street when he was young, and that's one thing that Big Bird used to say all the time, practice, practice, practice. And that's something that you have to do. Anything that you want to achieve, you have to practice, practice, practice. I mean, there may be a few people where things come natural, but for the majority of us, that's not the case. And the book kind of delves into ways that you can accomplish that.
Exactly. And even with those who do have that supposed born gift, it still doesn't negate them from practicing. There's a video in regards to one basketball player, since you brought it up, Steph Curry, where, of course, his dad was a great shooter. Steph Curry wanted to be a great shooter. He had to go out there and practice, though, you know, to become the shooter that he is today, three-time NBA champion. So appreciate that point for sure. And then also on the public speaking side, of course, you know, like you said, it's not just something where you're just talking. It's a matter of you're actually making a discussion point. You're actually having to take information, disseminate it, and actually present it to people. And sometimes you have a time limit. And that's not the easiest thing to do unless you practice. And, of course, if you want to do it as well. We kind of highlighted this earlier, but tell the audience, and thanks for everyone who's listening so far, 646-652-4479. If you're not too shy, call in. Why would this book need to be in someone's hands instead of all the other books out there available today? We mentioned a couple of people like the Jim Rohns and, of course, Oprah out there and Tony Robbins. But in this particular case, why would your book be the one that people need to read?
Number one, the books, it's an easy read. There are some books out there that the authors, whoever put the book together, they make things seem so complicated. And the book is formatted in such a way that it's simple to read and easy to understand. And the tools that are in the book are things, are everyday things that you can actually apply to your day-to-day life. There are, like I said, samples. I share stories about my life in there that a number of people may resonate with in terms of, for those people who are aspiring entrepreneurs, for example. There is nothing that we have done that we may not have necessarily continued with a project for your entire life. The fact that you've accomplished something, you have succeeded, right? So people tend to think that, okay, you may have decided that you wanted to, let's say you wanted to write a book, and you start to write the book, but you didn't complete the book. Does that mean that you failed? No, it doesn't mean you failed. You have succeeded at the onset, that launching that onset of writing the book. You may have not completed it, but if you label yourself as saying that you failed at something, then yes, now you've defeated everything and you're going to put yourself in a position where you may fail at more things going forward. Every step that you make in accomplishing a goal is a success, and that is detailed in the book with all the small successes that I've made. It's something that anyone can pretty much mirror and makes small successes for themselves to accomplish that big goal.
Perfectly said, Lorraine. I appreciate that so much, which is why I put that question in there just for you. Now, here's a big question, because I've been wondering this, because after just reading about you a little bit and just seeing your background and stuff, how did you have the time to put this book together? I know you said earlier that you have some help on the Toastmaster side of things as far as, you know, certain speeches you have, but it's still a matter of putting the book together, chapters, order, the edit, all of that. So how did you find time to put this book together? How long did it take you? Give us a little bit of just the work part of putting this book together.
Well, it took about a total of 2.5 years, actually, to write the book, put then organize the chapters and put it all together and actually bring it to print. I used every opportunity. My evenings, basically after work, I'd come home, prepare dinner for my kids, and once I know that they're settled and you kind of, you know, clean house the best you can, I wasn't about to make it perfect, that I'd just take some time, carve some time out in my day, in my evenings, and kind of buckle down and do as much writing or much focus as I could. And one of the things that I've learned is that you have to find the time that's right for you when you're fully engaged in something. Like for some folks, the morning hours might be ideal, so you end up going to bed early so you can get up early in the morning and spend that time focusing on something, to put something together. There may be folks who, maybe when they come straight home from work, you do that for those first few hours before you focus on family concerns. Or maybe don't even go home. Go to the library first and spend a couple hours doing mm-hmm. what's necessary. So I would carve time out in my day and try to get as much as I could, you know, for within the few hours that I could accomplish. And then once I had all my writing material together, I met with some friends, because sometimes when you try to do things on your own, it may just take you longer. Sometimes it's best to reach out to the experts who can help guide you and put things together. And that's pretty much what I did. I didn't do this in a void. In fact, one of my greatest help, which I did acknowledge them in the book, is a prior commander of mine who was a full-time professor at a college, and he was an English major. So when I did my first, when I put it together initially, I actually asked if he would do the honor of reading the book the first time and just kind of do the first proofreading, which they did, and gave me some, points on areas where I could improve it, and I just continued to work at improving the book as I went along. So don't try to do things. I mean, you could, but it just may take you longer. It's always good to get help.
Yeah. And that's a great point in regards to prioritization of time, because I've actually had to start doing that. Because I've been trying to actually sleep just a little bit more. So I figured out that, and like you said, go to bed a little bit earlier to wake up earlier to be able to get more stuff done because you're more focused at that point. So that's a wonderful point. Now, one question that I actually did not have written down, and I'm just asking this, is there someone who inspires or motivates you personally? You mentioned that you've met Oprah, which a lot of people have never had. Probably never will. But is there someone in particular that you would say has it just for your mindset and just for everything that you've done as a person that has really, been an inspirational, motivational person to you?
I can't say there's one person, but there's one YouTube YouTuber, I guess, that I've listened to on an ongoing basis, Lilou Macy, which she's a French motivational speaker. And in listening to her broadcast, her YouTube videos, when I think of how she basically put her life together, she basically decided one day that she just wanted to travel the world. And she literally just dropped everything, and she went out on a limb and was able to pretty much travel the world for free. She spoke to, in tapping into her own mental energy and resources, used that force pretty much to get the resources that she needed to create her life. And I think that's one thing that I always think that people should try to do is don't just settle. If there are things out there that you want to do, get yourself in that zone. You need to get that frequency to connect with folks that can help put you where you want to be.
It's at a certain point you have to be that person to make it move forward. I've said that forever, and all the things that I've done and done for other people is that eventually no one can do it for you.
No, exactly.
And you have to put yourself in that position where people even one take you serious, two want to maybe lend you some assistance of one way or another. It might not always be monetary or whatnot, but like you said, resources count. And when you put stuff together and you can organize things well, you never know what can happen. But you have to be the person to step over that line, and say, okay, I'm going to do it. And
right.
then be accountable
right.
when it doesn't happen. So I appreciate that. First of all, Lorraine, I want to say thank you so much for making yourself available with your busy schedule. But this particular publication, again, my show, Books to Read, I've tried so hard to always have different genres participatory on the show for those who want to put themselves in different brackets out there as far as who might read a particular book or not. And in this particular case, I feel that this is an important one. This is a great opportunity for people to learn about you personally, of course, but then also get a chance to really read a book that definitely can help them. That being said, how can people actually purchase the book? What kind of format can it be available on? And then, of course, how can people find out more about you on the World Wide Web?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, Define Your Greatness. It's also available through the Book Baby Store, which is my publisher. And I believe also Barnes & Noble, most major outlets. It is available in print as well as in the e-format. And Alicia, I'm also thinking about doing an audiobook, so we'll let you know
about
that as the time goes. Well, I have quite a few friends who basically, so some people, they not that they don't want to read, they just don't have the energy to read. So I think the audiobook industry is one of the biggest things out there these days. So it always helps when you're driving your car, doing your washing, you know, while you're doing something, just to kind of listen to books along the way is always a good thing. And also, they can keep with me on Facebook, Define Your Greatness, or at Speaker Cuff. At Speaker Cuff on Facebook. Also, my website, LorraineCuff.com. And there's also some blogs, a couple of articles that I've written on the website that people can read also.
Perfect. Lorraine, any shout-outs before I let you go for the night?
Oh, definitely. So to retired Colonel Marshall Irvin. He was the person who wrote my foreword, one of the best leaders that I've had. And to my parents, they happen to be visiting here. My son just graduated from college with his bachelor's degree, so I'm very proud of him. Mark Anthony Major. Make sure to give him a big name to live up to. He's been doing well with himself. So Mark Anthony and Taylor Samuels, God bless you all, and thank you for having me on your show.
Lorraine, I appreciate you so much. This is a great opportunity to meet another leader out there that is really sincere in wanting to help other people and being able to prove how you're able to actually do it. And, again, I believe this book is going to be a great read for anybody who picks it up. So one more time, let people know how they can purchase the book.
It's available on Amazon, Defining Your Greatness. It's Kindle as well as in paperback. And also, if they go to my website at LorraineCuff.com.
All right. Well, Lorraine, I'm a bid you adieu for now, but definitely keep up with me and definitely let me know about the audiobook. I'll make sure I update that for our fans. And, again, until next time, you have a great evening. And thank you again for being on the show.
And thank you again very much for having me. Bye-bye.
And that was Lorraine Cuff, the author of Defining Your Greatness. That was, again, I used the words inspirational and motivational. I don't use those words lightly because, again, it takes something for some people to even think about, well, I don't really want to be motivated, right? But just in her story, just in her early life to her being an adult and the responsibilities that she undertook, if you listen to that part of the interview, if what she did with her team didn't go right, other people suffered, okay? When I say suffered, I mean bad things could happen, you know what I'm saying? And so just on that end, that's some pressure there because that's not something you can just play games with. That's playing with people's lives, basically. So learning from those experiences and then others, her participation in Toastmasters, again, being in front of people, writing things to where she said, you know what, I could actually write a book about my experiences to help other people. And for her to be able to do that, it took her 2 years to do that. You know, could you put yourself in a position where it would take you 2 years to do anything? And a lot of people don't, and that's why they're still where they're at, okay? So that's one of the reasons I wanted to really have her on the show is to, again, prove that when you really want to get something done, it can get done. However long it takes, get it done. That again, whatever it is, whatever that goal, dream, aspiration is, you are responsible. You are the point person. Nothing can happen unless you say it's going to happen, right? And then other people may get involved, or they may not. And then you have to decide, well, if they don't, what are you going to do? Are you going to just let it slide? You're going to let it walk, you know, dissipate into nothingness, like I used to say back in the day, or you're going to move forward and make it happen no matter what. Again, you have too many examples of people who it took them 20 years to get to where they're at, but they're billionaires now, whatever that might, that business might be, or that goal, if it's an athlete and they won that championship. They played for 19 years and they won the championship, right? There's a lot of people who would have quit after 6 months, though. That's why everybody can't do everything, right? So, again, I appreciate so much that Lorraine was able to make it onto the show. So, until the next time, the next Books to Read show that we will have, please make sure that you're following all the formats for IMTN Worldwide Radio so you don't miss upcoming shows. Follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and also Facebook, IMTN Worldwide Radio. There is a Twitter page. I don't talk about it a lot, but it's IMTN Radio. You can also download the Spreaker.com app to your smartphone. Do something smart with that phone. And follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page. If you do that, you'll never miss a show. Okay, because once the show is recorded, it goes straight to Spreaker. You can click on the shows page, and you can see all the different listings of shows. Books to Read is just one of them. I have a show called Women in Business, Men in Business, IMTM Music, Around the ATL, The Top 5. I have several shows that you can listen to, various topics to enjoy. So definitely check that out. Want to appreciate all those who were listening in the chat room tonight. I appreciate it. And, of course, all those who listen live, and, of course, all those who will listen on podcast form after the fact. We are also on Spotify, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts. Please spread the word. Let someone know. I'm definitely trying to get the followers up on the Spreaker page itself. It's still a fairly new page, but trying to get on iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio has some criteria that I've met, except for the followers. I have all these people downloading the show, but they're not following the page. So if you listen to the show and you enjoyed it, tell one other person, and both of y'all follow the Spreaker.com page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. I really would appreciate that. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show for tonight. Again, thank you so much to Lorraine Cuff, author of Defining Your Greatness, for being on the show tonight. Really a great opportunity to hear a different perspective in regards to what, you know, either motivation is, what work ethic is, finishing something that you start. I really appreciate that story tonight. That being said, that's going to end it for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Again, until next time, y'all take care. Good night.